Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode 4 of Cauldron Side Chats. I'm your host, Jack Witch, Dr. Witcher, and tonight we'll be live watching WrestleMania 37 in Tampa Bay, Night 2. And as Hulk Hogan and Titus O'Neil come out onto the entranceway in their very, very fashionable pirate gear, very well fitting the theme, a lot better than they came out with last night, I'm so excited to see where they go with this night. Last night was absolutely amazing, really lived up to the hype, and they just have gone to try and top it tonight. Can't wait to find out. Hope you'll join me. Here we go. We're starting tonight with Randy Orton versus The Fiend, and as Randy Orton makes his way down to the ring, he's a person that the fans love to hate. He normally comes out to quite a chorus of boos, but the fans are just happy to see him tonight. And I honestly, even though he's not always been in the title picture at WrestleMania, for as long as he's been healthy, I can't remember a WrestleMania, at least since I started watching it in 2006, that he has not been a big part of it in one way. But this really is one of the only times I've seen him in a match of this magnitude and style. We really do not know what to predict from this one. He facing The Fiend in, well, it's a match that we probably weren't seeing anything like. Orton burned The Fiend alive a couple of months ago. Didn't see The Fiend for ages, assumed he was gone. Something happens to Alexa Bliss, almost seems possessed by The Fiend, and then we see The Fiend emerge from under the ring, through the ring, and almost try and pull Randy down with him. Orton, as we all know, is a man that can go to a deeper level than anyone else possibly in existence. He has this ability to tap into an almost animalistic nature and do things without remorse that would give other people nightmares. But tonight, he's not facing a man. He's facing The Fiend. And The Fiend's coming out of a vengeance that he was sent to whatever realm. And just, you can see on the graphic there, if you're watching it live with me, The Fiend has been burnt to a crisp. His costume, his mask, everything is just melted. And honestly, he's coming out of a vengeance to get some form of revenge, and I am scared to worry about thinking what these guys are going to do to each other. Even before this match has started, they've managed to throw me. But we saw the burnt version of The Fiend walking what looks like to be to the ring, kind of through a tunnel almost, but he seems to be able to, obviously using CGI, regenerate his costume to the old style before he was burnt. His kind of clownish style, and then it went dark. We expected to see The Fiend, but Alexa Bliss came out, and now we see her in her kind of almost children's presenter-ish style, because that is kind of Alexa Bliss's playground sort of thing they went to use in the past. And she came out all incredibly happy and has seemed to have approached a giant Jack in the Box. And when I say giant, I mean literally it's from the floor almost to the top rope, and that's over 7 foot. And they're reintroducing The Fiend to this in a way that is really only fitting for WrestleMania. And as the lighting turns red and The Fiend's music hits, he rises from the top of the Jack in the Box, looking in amazing shape for someone that was burnt alive a matter of months ago. And Orton, I wouldn't say he's got a look of fear in his eyes, because Orton doesn't fear anything, but he definitely is unsure what to make of what he's seeing in front of him, and personally, I don't blame him. The Fiend started off fast. I thought he was kind of trying to play a few mind games with keeping his back to Orton, but he was really just trying to lure Orton into a false sense of security. He ran and dived off the top of his music box, straight in, delivering a clothesline right to Orton, and has just hit his neckbreaker move and literally snapping Orton's neck to the side. That combined with a Uranagi a second ago, a massive clothesline in the corner. And, you know, this match may really be over before it started. The Fiend is back. He is in full force, full power. And Orton really needs to tap into that Legend Killer side a lot sooner than he might have intended, because The Fiend, crouching over in the corner now, may be about to set up for Sister Abigail. And if that happens, Orton, this match is over in record time for WrestleMania. I can't say for certain, but it looks like The Fiend was about to go for a punt to the side of the head, a move which Orton uses quite a lot. Orton was able to roll out the way and take it to the outside, backdropping The Fiend onto the announce table, which usually allows Orton to turn around the matches. But The Fiend has locked in the mandible claw on the outside, obviously no submissions, his hand fingers right down the throat of Randy Orton. But they're now back in the ring, Orton looking like he's trying to hit his DDT from the middle rope to the ring, and he does, he nails that, and that seemed to stop The Fiend for about 2 seconds at most. Orton went for the RKO, Fiend knocks it off immediately, but The Fiend went headfirst into his own music box as he tried to tackle Randy Orton. That might have to be the thing Orton does, stick and move, possibly use that box as a weapon or barricade to throw him into, but he cannot let The Fiend get any form of momentum going. As we got used to seeing in The Fiend's previous matches before he got burnt, and no matter what strike The Fiend seems to take, he gets right back up. Nothing seems to be able to faze him, and you could see that with all the punches and moves that Orton was throwing. He even threw The Fiend to the outside after The Fiend missed a backdrop senton onto Orton. And this would be the third DDT now that The Fiend has taken from the middle rope. Now, this is the move that Orton uses to pretty much end matches in the past. And The Fiend has taken 3 of them and is barely staying down. He's already about to get back up to his feet. And I honestly cannot think what Orton is going to have to do to keep this, not even man, this monster down. The Fiend looks like he was in control, and indeed he was. And you have to forgive me at this point, because what is happening in the ring now has literally made me speechless. The Fiend was setting up for, oh, Orton just hit the RKO on The Fiend and won the match. But that's cool for Orton, but what has happened right now, The Fiend was about to hit Sister Abigail on Alexa Bliss after locking in the mandible claw on Randy Orton, again fingers down the throat. Flames came out of the turnbuckles as The Fiend hit the kiss on Orton before he normally drops his opponent on his face. But I thought this was part of The Fiend's new aesthetic thing, but as soon as the flames died down, Alexa Bliss was on top of the music box that The Fiend came out of previously, and with a pentagram behind her, and this was already there, but is now black instead of what looked like red earlier. Again, that could have been because of the lighting, but, and this is why it's thrown me, she is there with what looks like to be a crown around her head, but with black liquid just oozing, almost blood-like, all down her face. And it looks like something out of a horror movie. The lights have now gone out, and The Fiend, Bliss, and the music box. Oh no, the music box is still there, but Bliss and The Fiend are gone. Once again, Randy Orton won the match, but what on earth we just witnessed there? I have absolutely no idea. Luckily now we seem to have a bit of a break for adverts on the pay-per-view promoting Undertaker's things, so I'm going to use that time to recoup myself from whatever we just saw there, and I will join you here for the next match. Trying to put what we just saw behind us, we now move on to the Women's Tag Team Championship match. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending against Natalya and Tamina. Now, the champions have an advantage, just like we saw at NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, where they did not compete last night, but the challengers did. and they didn't have a quick match, so they're not coming into this at 100%. The champions, however, like I said, did not compete. They have no fatigue, no injuries, but they don't always get along as such. They seem to be involved in a game of one-upsmanship among each other, and when you're a team, that's not really the ideal way to go. But Natalya and Tamina running an awful wave of momentum at the moment, and hopefully the veteran skills of Natalya mixed with the talent of Tamina that has yet to really be established. Can it pull through on the biggest stage of them all? I personally think it can, but never bet against the champions. So we'll see how that goes. Natalya starts off against Shayna Baszler, and Natalya, being the third generation superstar that she is, manages to get a slight upper hand in the grappling at first, but Shayna Baszler, MMA competitor, she knows exactly how to work her opponent's body, and it's a pretty fair back and forth thus far. No one seems to be using any underhand tactics, which we have seen from Shayna in the past, and there hasn't even really been any strikes, purely body manipulation. As Natalya attempts to lock in the sharpshooter, Baszler nowhere near hurt enough for that. She gets straight to the ropes and Natalya has to break. Nia Jax gets tugged straight in and immediately goes for the lockup with Natalya, but Natalya, she's not gonna be able to match her strength against Nia Jax. But Nia doesn't want Natalya in the ring. She wants Tamina. Now, these two, I believe it's cousins, Nia Jax and Tamina, that is. So there's quite a lot of family history between these two. And being of Samoan heritage like they are, it's all about being the best in your family. It's ingrained in their DNA, almost, the desire to be able to have as many belts as possible or just many accomplishments. And you see that a lot throughout Samoan heritage in wrestling, like The Rock, Roman Reigns, Rikishi, Alpha, Sika, those sort of wrestlers. And this is going to be a pure powerhouse display, as it already is. Strikes swinging all over the place, not going for anything fancy. But as soon as Tamina let her guard down to tag Natalya in, Nia Jax attempts to take a bit of control. And another blind tag now, Shayna Baszler on her way back in, but I don't think Natalya and Tamina realised it until right then, when Natalya got met with a brutal kick to the side of the head. Doesn't get phased for too long, and a double team suplex by her and Tamina, lifting Shayna Baszler up and dropping her on her own tag team partner as Nia Jax rolls out to the ring. Side area. And as Natalya again goes for the sharpshooter, Shayna Baszler is quick enough to get out of it, nearly scoring a pinfall, but Natalya back in control from the German suplex. This match is going to be very back and forth. I can see this already. Natalya then introduces another double team maneuver where she slingshots Shayna Baszler right into the awaiting super kick of Tamina. And this is enough to get a two count. Again, still very early on in the match, especially for a championship match. You know, no one's going to lay down in this one. And speaking of laying down, Shayna Baszler did not take that shot lightly. She got immediately back up after the pin. And even though Natalya tried to take control, Baszler met her with a fantastic knee straight to the face, which looked like Natalya was out. With Natalya's toes pointed straight down to the canvas and a heel up in the air, Shayna Baszler stood directly on the Achilles heel of Natalya, and you saw Natalya's ankle bend to the side in an angle that really did not look natural, and I would not be surprised if that is not sprained or at least broken. The champions, Jax and Baszler, have definitely singled out the leg and foot area of Natalya, and it's a good strategy because Natalya is a submission based wrestler. Her finisher is the sharpshooter, and if she can't boast off that leg, then she's not going to be able to lock it in effectively and get as much damage into the hold as she needs to. Nia Jax managed to wrap Natalya's leg over both of Nia's shoulders, lift Natalya up, and swing Natalya into the waiting knee of Shayna Baszler. Nia Jax remained dominant over Natalya for the last several minutes, and I honestly thought we'd saw the end of the match. It was another one-handed powerbomb spinebuster type move. This one seemingly becoming quite popular at the moment, and it's easy to see why, because especially when you have the height that Nia Jax has, get your opponent all the way up, slam them down as hard as you can, and simply put, they might not kick out. And Natalya wouldn't have, but luckily Tamina was able to come in and break up the pinfall at the last second, and I literally mean the very last second. It almost looked like she wasn't going to make it at all. A tag into Tamina means that she's now able to try and use some form of momentum, and the fact that she is the fresher of the four competitors in the ring, to get some kind of advantage, and it seems to be working in the early going, even though Nia Jax seems to be trying to get involved with, even though Shayna Baszler is the legal competitor, and Baszler now trying to lock in the Karafuda clutch to tap out Tamina, but Tamina lifts her up and nails the Samoan drop. But sadly, that was not enough to get the pin just yet, still very early on in the match, like I said, and Tamina needs to try and stay focused. She hasn't been in this WrestleMania's position, in a title match at least, very often, and she can't let her emotions get the better of her right now. Natalya managed to save Tamina from taking a Samoan drop from the middle rope from Nia Jax, and if she hadn't have pulled Tamina off Jax's shoulders, honestly feel that would have been it. Baszler tried to get involved as well, but Natalya soon dealt with that. But they were both then met, that they being both challengers, Tamina and Natalya, with a diving crossbody off the second rope from Nia Jax. It's not something we see often from her, being a much more powerful woman and competitor. She doesn't tend to go to the ropes, and this time it nearly worked, and Tamina hasn't really moved since then. The only thing I would say to watch out for is that Nia Jax landed very, very heavily on her left knee, clutched it as she came off the crossbody, and as such was unable to capitalize on the maneuver. The trash talking of Nia Jax nearly caught her there. She was using the time very poorly to try and get into the mind of Tamina. And Tamina really was taking absolutely none of what Nia Jax was saying. Tamina decided the best way to counteract this was to just hit Nia Jax square in the face and then somehow get Nia Jax off of her feet and hit her with a slam, nearly getting the three count and winning the belt. You saw a reaction from the crowd. They would nearly, some of them did, jump out of their seats onto their feet in anticipation. And speaking of anticipation, Tamina is now up on the top rope, and we saw this splash last night. Has Nia Jax noticed it in time to move out of the way? Only time will tell. Yes, she did. Nia Jax rolled out of the way just about, and Tamina landed heavily, possibly face first. She's clutching her midsection, and this is now a nice opportunity for both members to get a nice time to catch their breath as such, and see if they can get over to their individual corners and get their partners in to really get the momentum swinging one way or the other. Tamina was able to make the tag to Natalya, and it looked like they were going to be able to prevent Nia Jax making the tag. And Natalya, unaware that a blind tag was actually made by Shayna Baszler, I admit I missed it as well. Natalya managed to lock in the sharpshooter, and you could see Nia not really fighting it, and at first I was a bit confused as to why, but then Natalya kind of trying to post on a leg that seemed to have taken a bit of damage. She got the hold in eventually, but it took long enough, and with Shayna Baszler being the legal competitor, she came in and locked in the Karafuda clutch sleeper hold right from behind, and also known as a rear naked choke for those of you that may know it by a different name. And Natalya didn't tap again like Drew McIntyre last night. The referee did have to stop the match though, because Natalya was almost unresponsive, and that is a hold that can cause serious damage if it is not relinquished. So there you have it. Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, using their great teamwork, quick thinking and pure submission and power ability to retain the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. Our next match should be a good one. It's another non-title match because there are again no champions involved, but it's Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens with Logan Paul in Sami Zayn's corner. And again, another social media star that WWE have tried to bring in, but he's not being brought in the same capacity that Bad Bunny was last night. Logan Paul was originally supposed to be in Sami Zayn's corner. He seems very on the fence as to who he believes at the moment. But Kevin Owens convinced that there's nothing going on, nothing is going wrong. But Sami Zayn says there's some conspiracy against him that is keeping him back from reaching his goals of being on the top in the WWE. And he apparently has documentary footage that we are able to witness. Kevin Owens comes down to the match tonight really looking like he means business. He has had enough of the constant complaining that Sami Zayn has been doing. Because this isn't the first time that we've had something like this. This sort of thing's been going on for years with Sami Zayn. If he doesn't get to where he wants to be, then he complains that it's someone else's fault. And the emotion pouring out of Kevin Owens for this match. He is kicking the bottom rope. He's just so fired up that he has to let some of it out. And it's reached boiling point between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens now. Once lifeline friends, and then, you know, enemies, friends. They can't make up their mind whether they like each other or not. And Sami Zayn rushes Kevin Owens right away. But Owens, he knows Sami Zayn well. He saw that coming. Nails Sami Zayn with a pop-up powerbomb. Owens finisher, but, you know, very early on in the match. And Zayn rolls out to the ring, very hurt and barely able to stand. But he's outside the ring. You cannot be pinned outside. And, okay, I thought we were going to see a powerbomb on the outside of the apron. But Zayn was quick enough to hold on to the middle rope and elbow Owens a few times to let him go, and they both returned to the middle of the ring. This is a match that Sami Zayn came into really needing to prove a lot, especially with regards to, well, he's really telling the truth. But Owens has kind of focused more on his in-ring game rather than trying to prove conspiracy theories that may or may not be there, with evidence that perhaps wasn't exactly fully unedited. But speaking of unedited, this suplex right on the outside, Owens landed hard along the apron, and that was not edited. That was pure impact straight on there, and I'll be surprised if Owens is able to stand up anytime soon. Zayn is able to regain some form of control, and Zayn is brilliant with the strikes. We haven't seen him get distracted lately either, which is good. Logan Paul keeping his distance at ringside. He seems to be a very neutral party, but Zayn nicely in control, and a Falcon driver to Kevin Owens. I thought that was it. I really look, it could have got the pin. And with Owens kicking out, this is again fueling the fact that Sami Zayn thinks there's something against him and people are out to get him. And with a move like that, not getting the three count, maybe he does have a bit of proof to what he's saying. Some referees you can't trust. There have been screw jobs. Both people on the top rope here, and with two people up, this is something that very, very rarely ends in what I would class as a good way, just exchanging strikes on the top. A headbutt from Owens, and I can only see this ending. Yep, there it is. Zayn fell down, landing hard on his back. He might be out. Kevin Owens nails a frog splash. Will the conspiracy carry on? No, Sami Zayn was able to just about kick out. Logan Paul loving his experience there on ringside. He hasn't got a headset on, he's not talking to commentary. He was invited here to be a guest of Sami Zayn, and that is really what he appears to be doing. Whether he remains to be impartial and stays that way throughout the entire match as Sami Zayn reverses a second pop-up powerbomb, we'll see where Logan's allegiances properly lie. There have been a lot of power moves on the side of Kevin Owens, and you really knew that's where it was going to go. But Sami Zayn is able to use his quickness to escape a lot of these big holds. And if it wasn't for that, and the fact that those two know each other so well, so much so that Kevin Owens is able to move out the way of the Huluva kick. And because they know each other so well, they can just clearly see what the other person is thinking, sometimes before even they know. Sami Zayn has started to use the Exploder Corner Suplex, and now the Dragon Suplex. Massive impact on both moves, affecting the neck quite a lot, and a brain buster immediately after that, Owens could be out, but he narrowly, and I mean narrowly, got the shoulder up. I don't know how he did it, but Owens refusing to stay down. Fight, Owens fight is the mantra he lives by, and like I said before, this may just be fueling the campaign that Sami Zayn has for people that are out against him. With both men on top, Sami Zayn looked like he was in control, about to hit a superplex. Owens picks Sami Zayn up, twists him round to the side in a move that really I don't have a name for. It kind of looks like a spinning fisherman's driver from the middle rope, and if he would have gone for a pin there, I believe that probably would have been it on the mat. But an impact move from so high up really does take it absolutely away from you. With Sami Zayn in firm control, Kevin Owens is in the corner. Sami Zayn hits a haluva kick, a running kick, right to the face of Kevin Owens. Wasn't enough in Sami Zayn's mind to consider going for a pin. I mean, Owens was out on his feet. There was no reaction, purely leaning up against Sami Zayn. I think he really should have gone for it at that point. And, you know, maybe he's agreeing now because Kevin Owens just hit him with not one, but two super kicks. The first of which while Sami Zayn was running. And Zayn then out on his feet. Owens said something to Sami Zayn. We couldn't catch it because of the sound of the fans in attendance. But all I do know is whatever he said, Sami Zayn got hit by a stunner. Sami Zayn got pinned and Sami Zayn lost. Kevin Owens here is your winner. Is this part of a conspiracy theory? I highly doubt it. The referee's count seemed to be pretty on target. Pretty good count, cadence, and one that Sami Zayn was easily able to kick out of on a good day. And sadly for Sami Zayn today, just wasn't that day. Owens here really soaking up the admiration of the WWE Universe. Logan Paul in the ring now with Sami Zayn. Looks like he's trying to give him some comforting words. Maybe talk to him more about the conspiracy theory. Be interesting to see what develops between these two right now. Sami seems a bit confused. Obviously must have been out from the combination of moves that Kevin Owens hit. But Logan Paul, is he joining on side with Kevin Owens? Sami Zayn not happy about that. It looks like there was going to be a handshake between the two of them. Zayn is irate. You know, Logan Paul was Sami Zayn's guest to try and help him make people believe there's a conspiracy against Sami Zayn. And Logan Paul just pushes Sami Zayn over. You don't put your hands on another person. We know Logan Paul has a history in other fighting sports, unlike wrestling. In your MMA and your boxing worlds, it may not be a lot, but still enough to, you know, make him confident in defending himself. And with Logan Paul raising Kevin Owens' hand in the middle of the ring, Sami Zayn walking up the entrance ramp, and Owens does not look impressed. Grabbed the wrist of Kevin Owens, and Owens will not stop staring at it. I've seen that look before. Logan Paul, you need to get out of that ring. It is going to end very badly for you if you do not. Owens laughing to himself, the crowd chanting yes, they want to see what we all know is coming. Owens extends the handshake, takes it back, psych, kick to the gut, stunner, Logan Paul dropped middle of the ring at WrestleMania. That is part of what the fans came to see. So once again, Sami Zayn loses to Kevin Owens. The conspiracy carries on, maybe. Maybe Sami Zayn's in his own head. Maybe he is the conspiracy. Either way, Sami Zayn did not get what he wanted. Kevin Owens celebrating with the fans now. Looks like his family are there. He's going to go back, enjoy his victory, and hopefully put Sami Zayn in his rearview mirror. Logan Paul is out, and I can't say I'm sad about that. Michael Cole looks like helping. No, Michael Cole, I apologise. That turned out to be Jamie Noble. Don't know how I got those two confused. Looks kind of similar from behind. But helping Logan Paul to the back now. And we go over to Matt Riddle. So it looks like the United States Championship may be next. Sheamus versus Matt Riddle for the United States Championship is up next. And Matt Riddle coming in as the champion, very laid back, almost insultingly so in the eyes of Sheamus. Sheamus holds one of the records for the shortest match, if not the shortest championship match, in WrestleMania quite a few years ago when he bro-kicked then, I don't know what champion he had, but then Daniel Bryan, who was dating AJ at the time, and just won in, had to have been about 12 seconds. But he's now very angry with how Riddle conducts himself in the ring, his very blasé and laid-back attitude. Not one that Sheamus thinks is really the ideal way for a champion of such a high-quality brand to be presented. And you can see that by just the aggression and the strikes and everything that have come out in very, very early moments of this matchup. Sheamus's power is really shining through in this match. Riddle needs to use his quickness like he's just used here, running up to the top rope and a standing Spanish fly to Sheamus. If Riddle could cover, that would be possibly the end of the match, but sadly he's not able to, because in the build up to this spot right here, Riddle has suffered with having to put up with the power that Sheamus brings to every one of his matches. Sheamus took Riddle to the outside of the ring. Riddle nearly tried to take advantage. He locked in an armbar and obviously in the ropes, had to break it, but managed to use a full 4 count out of 5. And that really does put a lot more pressure on the arm of the opponent, because that rope creates another leverage point that they have to then be able to deal with. But Sheamus just pummeling away at the chest of Riddle. But then since Riddle was able to hit that Spanish fly off the top rope, he has been in pretty solid control, and he just hit a brosault running backsplash to Sheamus and gets him up. Lost him. Sheamus too big, too strong. But I stand corrected. Almost like a jackhammer type suplex, lifts him up, scoops him under him, and then lands on top of him like a power slam, squashing Sheamus's chest between Riddle and the canvas. And I honestly do not know how Sheamus is able to kick out of that one. Those kicks of Riddle proving to be an important and useful weapon. He has quite long legs, and when he's on his back like he was just then, or even on the apron, it adds a kind of level of uncertainty to Matt Riddle's attacks. And speaking of uncertainty, I thought he was out. I thought we had a new champion right there. Sheamus caught Riddle coming in from the outside of the ring with a tremendous running knee. And with the force that Riddle had behind him, springboarding over the top rope, Riddle didn't get the shoulder up. It looked like that was it. From my perspective, he didn't. But Sheamus capitalized. Referee said it was 2. Sheamus understood it was 2. And he got up, picked Matt Riddle up, and just dropped him on his head again, hitting the white noise. Reverse Alabama Slammer, actually. I apologize. Oh. And whatever move it was, Sheamus uses the most impactful things you see. And white noise now is coming up on the apron of the ring until Matt Riddle slides off the back of Sheamus and hits a German suplex. Sheamus now down on the outside. Riddle can retain his championship by countout. Riddle using all the momentum he's been able to gain to roll Sheamus back into the ring. Sheamus is out on his back right now. Riddle needs to capitalize, and he does. He climbs to the top rope and hits the floating bro a nice almost corkscrew crossbody, and Sheamus barely manages to get his shoulder up and break the pinfall before losing the match and his title opportunity. Matt Riddle then, capitalizes very quick. He realizes he doesn't have time to waste, and he locks in a kind of upside down armbar normally Sheamus's back would be on the canvas, but this time his stomach was, and that adds a whole new level of pressure. And Sheamus was able to counter and go for a pinfall. And Matt Riddle again kicking out a two and immediately locking in a sleeper hold. And you could almost see the look of desperation in Sheamus's eyes as he tries to get to the bottom rope. And once he does, the referee, understandably and following the rules, breaks the hold by Riddle. And Sheamus just pummels him with several elbow strikes, getting out that extra bit of emotion, you know, for almost the nerve of Matt Riddle, thinking that he's really going to tap out Sheamus on the biggest stage of them all. Sheamus went up to the top, possibly to look for his diving roll-through lariat. Riddle met him up there. Sheamus has just slipped off the top rope, trying to hit White Noise after Riddle was unable to capitalize on him, kind of losing his balance. Sheamus, now not wasting any time, goes right back up to top and a diving knee off the top rope to the chest of Matt Riddle. And again, Matt Riddle is able to kick out. The ropes there for Sheamus in the previous corner, very slippery due to a number of reasons, such as the fact that Sheamus himself could be quite sweaty at this point. And that's a corner that has been used several times in this match. It's also rained there, it's in an outside arena, and so many outside aspects came into that slip off the top rope from Sheamus. But the Celtic Warrior, always thinking one or two moves ahead, was able to keep his composure, nearly hit the bro kick on Matt Riddle, but Riddle, oh my word, sorry, as I was mid-sentence saying Riddle was able to dodge the bro kick, Riddle goes for a moonsault off the middle rope, and in mid-air, yes, that's right, mid-air, Matt Riddle's head is facing the floor, his feet are up towards the sky, mid-moonsault, Sheamus hits a bro kick right to the face of Riddle. And you can probably tell by the fact that it stopped me in my tracks, Matt Riddle was unable to kick out of that move. And in true Celtic Warrior style, Sheamus is your new United States champion. You can see where that shot connected. Riddle is bleeding from the mouth. And this match again, like all matches have been, very back and forth. And the slow motion replay, Riddle caught right in the jaw, almost on the left-hand side, the tip of Sheamus's boot hitting just under the upper lip of Riddle, and that is bleeding pretty bad. Riddle looks distraught, but Sheamus just looks so vindicated that now the championship is where Sheamus feels that it belongs. Will bloodshed add a further intensity to this rivalry, or is this another one that is done? Well, remains to be seen. I'm sure we will find out tomorrow night on Raw. And the Raw after WrestleMania, always one to watch. Cannot wait. But for now, Sheamus, well-deserved United States Championship reign. I hope it goes on for a long time. He makes a fantastic champion. But for now, let's see what else WrestleMania has to offer. Big E and Apollo Crews face off next for the Intercontinental Championship. Big E is currently the champion and they are facing off in a Nigerian drum match. Now, to my knowledge, this is the only Nigerian drum match that we have had in the WWE. And essentially, it is to the point where a rivalry has gone so far between two competitors that it's essentially a no disqualification match. But with the addition of what looks to be a giant cymbal, like a gong, and a load of Nigerian drums around the side. Apollo Crews has brought it out because it represents his heritage and what his ancestors would do. And much like his ancestors, he has just taken several drums to the head as Big E, the reigning champion, throws him into them and takes the gong off of the stand. Crews kicked out of his hand. I thought that was going to end quite badly for Crews there so early on in the match. And we've already seen quite a lot of kendo stick attacks. These two are not wasting any time in trying to take the other person out. Big E threw Apollo Crews onto the apron, just as I was about to start saying about Apollo Crews' recent changing character and personal traits by the looks of it. But after Big E threw Apollo onto the apron, he bounced off the ropes and hit a phenomenal spear through the top and middle rope into Apollo Crews, taking them both to the outside of the floor. They must have travelled back a good 3 or 4 feet purely on the impact Big E was able to generate from that one move alone. And now setting up the steel steps on the outside, possibly looking for a powerbomb of sorts, that remains to be seen. But as I was saying about Apollo Crews' change in character, he just hit a Death Valley driver on the apron to Big E. And that is a move that the old Apollo Crews would not really have done. And he was almost happy being second best. You know, he was happy to be there for a while. And Big E really brought this aggressive side out of him. Apollo lost twice to Big E in Intercontinental Championship matches, and Big E said, "Look, you're done. I don't need to prove anything to you. I haven't got to beat you anymore." But that didn't settle well with Apollo. He got in touch with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, and they gave him a bit of guidance and just basically told him, "Tap into your roots, be ruthless and aggressive." And that has led us to the suggestion and now presentation of the Nigerian drum match. Be interesting to see if he can keep his momentum going and use a match of his own creation to his advantage to win the Intercontinental Championship. Apollo was in control for a couple of minutes, if that, but going for a running knee on the apron, Big E catches Apollo in midair and throws him onto the steel steps that Big E had set up moments ago with a uranage, and the referee had to check on Apollo because he hit hard. And that is a move that can pin people on the canvas, let alone actually happening on the steel steps. Big E telling Apollo Crews this is exactly what he asked for, and he's not wrong. Crews tapped into this side of himself, bought it out of Big E as well, and I'm sure Apollo Crews, for some sick, twisted way, is secretly loving the fact that he's got this level of intensity out of Big E, and maybe down to the fact that he really just has a third Intercontinental Championship match this year alone. The rage of Apollo flowing out right now. He had a short window of opportunity to regain control. That back is really playing up, and he just simply decides a kendo stick is the best way to inflict the most amount of damage possible in the shortest period of time, and a good 6 or 7 shots to the chest of Big E. Big E put on a table that he himself had set up. Apollo tried to put him through it, and Big E rolled out the who is this? Big E rolled out the way of the splash by Apollo Crews off the top rope. Apollo went through the table. Big E hit the big ending and was about to get the win, but this massive monster of a man who I believe we saw in the background of Raw Underground once or twice, I may be mistaken, he looks vaguely familiar but can't pinpoint where, has come in what looks like Nigerian army uniform, possibly something to do, has to be with Apollo's ancestors, and Apollo can barely stand. He has gone through a table and hit the steel chairs, but he just devastated Big E, literally coming out of nowhere, and no disqualification. This match still carries on. Apollo crawls into the cover, wins the Intercontinental Championship, Big E unfortunately suffering the loss. But the headline here is, who is this gentleman that seems to have joined himself up with Apollo Crews? And I don't know how anyone is going to stop Crews now with that man in his corner. Crews celebrating in the corner now with this man behind him, and he's almost as tall as Crews is while Crews is stood on the middle rope. the pyro going off and the lighting display at the back. Cruz, he's been overlooked for so long. He really did deserve a title run, and maybe tapping into his ancestry, following his roots to bring out this attitude change is exactly the thing that he needed to start improving and building on the legacy that he can make for himself now. Our next championship match sees Rhea Ripley challenging Oscar for the Raw Women's Championship. And Ripley, again, tapping into the more aggressive side of her personality since coming up to the main roster, she almost seemed like she had lost her way on NXT. She kind of tried to be the nicer person and deal with people in that sense, but really she has such a high level of intensity and power that you don't need to worry about being nice to other people. She can just take them out. But Asuka left NXT undefeated and relinquished the Women's Championship to move up to the main roster on WWE. So we know that Asuka really has it in her to take down and defeat any opponent that is put in front of her. So this match is going to be hard-hitting and I would imagine quite fast, with a good few submission holds possibly attempted. Neither competitor really wants to strike first. Asuka looks ready to go, using a lot more energy at the start than Rhea does. But Rhea not being put down by that dropkick, and Asuka may have made a mistake, but the strikes, not really enough to take advantage over Rhea. But bouncing off the ropes, Rhea gets caught by one roll up and now a backslide pin and a double boot right to the face of Rhea. It seems to have caught the challenger off guard, but that's what you have to expect from Asuka here in the early going. Rhea has had to take a moment to herself on the outside to try and regain her composure, and Asuka, using some great mind games, just dancing in the middle of the ring, and Rhea turned around and, as you can imagine, was not happy to see her opponent and Raw Women's Champion just almost taking the mick over the fact that she is so easily in control so early on into this match. Asuka, unfortunately for her, missed a running hip attack into the corner, and Rhea Ripley, using her power to just slam Asuka into the floor and now raining down the shots into Asuka's face. This match has slowed right down, and Rhea Ripley firmly in control in the way that she really needed to be. This is a big moment for both women, and what has to be now the penultimate match of WrestleMania Night 2. All eyes are on these two women right now. Easily could have been main events of the show, have main evented shows before individually, but there's just pure disrespect coming from Rhea Ripley right now as she paintbrushes Asuka on the back of the head. These two women firmly deserve the position that they're in on the biggest stage of them all, and let's just hope that both of them make the most of the opportunity that they have. And so right now the match is living up to the billing and the expectations that people have for a WrestleMania show. This is only Rhea Ripley's second WrestleMania, first one in front of the crowd, and she seems a bit hesitant to follow up on the advantage that she manages to have over the Raw Women's Champion. Maybe a bit of inexperience here, or almost nerves going into a high pressure match like this, but the trash talking that Rhea tried to pull out there was really not effective. You can't give Asuka any time to recover. And Asuka is able to reverse any move that Rhea Ripley was trying, locks in a knee bar, and that is really going to immediately affect most of the strength now of Ripley, because she has taken away one of the limbs that really helps Ripley plant and get a firm base to put as much force into her attacks as she possibly can. Shoulder tackles right into the kidneys and lower back of Oscar while she's in the corner. Rhea Ripley just trying to take as much of the wind out of the champion as she possibly can. Pulls her onto the top rope now. And Rhea, you can see in her eyes, she has something in mind that she believes could possibly end this match. And most moves off the top rope have that ability. It looks at the moment like she's going for some kind of suplex, but Oscar has been able to connect with 5 or 6 vicious elbows to the back of the neck, followed by 1 to the forehead. Oscar's got that second wind back that Rhea Ripley really could not let happen. A massive missile drop kick to Rhea, and this is Oscar's opportunity to regroup, get her energy back, and try to get some form of momentum go her way so she can move past the challenge of Ripley and retain her Raw Women's Championship. The striking power, again, that Japanese strong style that we see from a lot of wrestlers that come from that part of the world, just able to almost knock out Rhea Ripley with a nice series of kicks to the chest and head, followed by a running hip attack right to the face of Rhea Ripley. Again, a move that has picked up victories for Oscar in the past, but this is WrestleMania. You're not going to be put down by a move that can pick up victories. The move you need to hit needs to be one that no one is able to break out of or kick out of. And speaking of kicks, while I was talking, Oscar had gone to the top rope and Rhea Ripley just runs and delivers a standing drop kick to the chest of Oscar while she's on the top rope. And Oscar spills onto the apron, and now both competitors are on the outside. Ripley has Oscar on her shoulders and just drops her face first on the apron, and Oscar could be out. Ripley needs to get Oscar back in the ring now and get the pin started. Otherwise, Oscar's going to regain too much energy and she's not going to be able to take the belt right now. It looked like we were about to see a suplex from the apron to the outside. I don't know if that's what Oscar tried to do, but it ended up looking like a impaling DDT. And looking back on the replay, Oscar did not try to lift. Oscar was not planning on a suplex that affects the back. She was planning to knock Rhea Ripley out cold. And referee at 6, she may have done it, but Ripley has just about made it back in the ring. And a sliding knee to the face of Rhea by the champion Oscar, and somehow the challenger is able to stay in this, and you can see the look of disbelief on the face of the champion. A series of kicks to the chest and arms of Oscar by Ripley proves that you don't need to do anything fancy to try and regain the advantage. Just counter your opponent's running knee and hit them as hard as you possibly can. Gets her back in control. She manages to lock in a almost inverted Texas Cloverleaf. Again, another move that has ended numerous matches. But Oscar, she's seen it before. She has scouted Ripley. Manages to roll Ripley into an armbar, and Ripley just lifting the champion up, not having any of this submission hold, swings her head first into the bottom turnbuckle. And both women now need to regroup and use this time wisely. Ripley on her feet in the ring. Let's see if she can capitalize. Oscar once again showing her submission ability, transitioning between several different holds. And Rhea able to roll up Oscar to start pinning her and able to break out of the armbar using that technique. The kicks to the chest that Oscar uses to follow up just seem to motivate Rhea Ripley. And adrenaline seemed to kick in. Rhea begs for Oscar to kick her in the chest again as hard as she can. Rhea Ripley stands right to her feet while being kicked. Oscar goes for some other kind of move. Rhea counters, twists Oscar over, lifting her up into the air, slams her down right onto her back, pins Oscar for the 1, 2, 3. Rhea Ripley in her first WrestleMania match on the Raw roster has just pinned the Empress of Tomorrow to take the Raw Women's Championship. Rhea was able to pull that Riptide out literally from a ducked kick. And it's the quick thinking like that that has got her to the top of the mountain in NXT before. Yes, she had a bit of a slump, but she has tapped in to the Rhea Ripley of old, and that is someone that is dangerous to be in the ring with, because I don't know if you can stop her. Take nothing away from Asuka, the Empress of Tomorrow really did put up one hell of a fight, but sadly for her, tonight Rhea Ripley came with nothing to lose. And a person with nothing to lose is a dangerous fighter. And this time, she's able to get the win. Is this the last we've seen of these two? I don't think so. I imagine we're going to have a good few matches between these two to come. Hopefully getting more intense, but time will tell. That sound could only mean one thing. It is now time for our main event of WrestleMania Night 2. The triple threat match for the Universal Championship featuring the champion Roman Reigns, his original challenger Edge, who won the Royal Rumble match back in January and earned the right to face the champion of his choosing in a singles match at WrestleMania, and Daniel Bryan, who, in my opinion, has weaseled his way into this match. He's already lost to Roman Reigns, and Edge deserves this one-on-one opportunity. He's not going to get it. That is what it is. We're here now, and honestly, I can't wait to see how this plays out. Without further ado, it's time to get in to your main event championship match. Enjoy. During all three of the competitors' entrances tonight, you could just feel the anticipation in the crowd. This is the match you almost sense they've been waiting for the entire of the 2 days, if not the entire week. We've had so many big matches, but this has been an intense rivalry from start to finish. It's got so much going on here. Could we be seeing WrestleMania Part 2 with Daniel Bryan winning yet another triple threat match of the championship on the line on the big stage? We also have Edge, who, after coming back from a career-ending injury with his neck, his Achilles, and most recently a torn tricep, which turned out to be a lot worse than he thought, he came back to win the Royal Rumble, and from number one, no less, and looked forward to his one-on-one championship match against Roman Reigns. Obviously, that is not to be because Daniel Bryan is now in this match. But Roman Reigns, he doesn't care. He is the head of the table, the leader of the family. And one man, two man, five man, you know, put them in front of them. He will spear them. He will knock them down. He will keep his reputation for being one of the most dominant champions that we've seen. And hopefully he lives up to that tonight. I've honestly got Edge to win this match, in my opinion. And straight away, Roman just takes out Daniel Bryan the second the bell rang. Bryan was down, and we're having our one-on-one competition. Spear versus spear, Roman versus Edge. Let's see how it goes. Daniel Bryan quickly trying to get back into the swing of this match. But, you know, it's no disqualification. We have Jey Uso on the outside, and Reigns throws Edge to the outside now as well. This is essentially a team for Roman Reigns, facing off against two individuals, and Reigns looks like he's about to, and yes he is, clearing the top of the announce table. This match has gone a lot quicker than I anticipated. I expected to have a little bit of a feeling up process in the ring, but nope. Straight to the outside, straight to getting the table ready, and Daniel Bryan straight for the Tope Suicida through the top and middle rope. But yet again, Jey Uso saves Roman Reigns with another super kick to Daniel Bryan. Edge really showing his aggression early on. The addition of Daniel Bryan has brought out a side of Edge that we haven't seen in quite some time. He is quite literally throwing Roman Reigns from pillar to post, barricade to ring post, and almost as if he's a cruiserweight instead of the big powerhouse heavyweight like he is. Edge has almost snapped. He's given up on his actual opponents and just hits an execution impaler DDT on the steel steps to Jey Uso, and at least for now, you can bet that is the last we're going to see of the outside interference. Already, this match has been so brutal that Jey Uso is currently being helped by several doctors and ringside staff to possibly the back, if not the timekeeper's area, just to really keep him out of the way. Poor Heyman backing off as Edge tries to go back into the ring. It's now down to Edge and Daniel Bryan. Roman Reigns, I don't know if he's still hurt, the look in his eyes. He might be biding his time, because, you know, the triple threat match, let these two beat each other up, wear each other down, and you come in and retain your title. It's a good strategy. Whether it'll work, I'm not sure. Drop toe hold by Daniel Bryan. Edge goes face first into middle turnbuckle. And now the yes kicks in the corner has to hurt. Because with those, there is nowhere for your chest to go. You'll get kicked and hit straight back into the turnbuckle. And even more impactful than when Daniel Bryan does them, when his opponent's down in the middle of the ring. Edge managed to get the better of Daniel Bryan temporarily. Hit another, because that was actually the execution, dropping Daniel Bryan on the back of his head, only for a two count, and Roman chose this opportunity to get back involved. Edge went to go to the outside and saw Roman there, tried to suplex him in the ring, but Daniel Bryan slides between both competitors' legs, takes out Roman Reigns, keeping him on the outside and dropping Edge in the middle of the ring. The crowd here are firmly behind Daniel Bryan for WrestleMania Part 2 to take place, but of the two powerhouses he's in the ring with, I personally can't see it happening. Bryan made a mistake right there. He tried to continue to wear down on Roman Reigns on the outside of the ring. Went for a suicide dive, but Reigns just caught him and released belly-to-belly suplex overhead. Daniel Bryan is down. Edge hits a sliding dropkick on Roman, who is kind of stunned. His chest taken a lot of damage. Reigns can't really stand. Edge rolling Roman's back into the ring, but Roman comes back with a Superman punch. The champion really not going down without a fight, especially not on a stage like this with so much to prove and his championship to defend. Edge manages to counter the next attempt at the Superman punch that Roman Reigns goes with, drops him with a DDT, a move that Edge is using quite a lot in this match already. Edge, hearing the crowd behind him, goes to the corner, attempts to set up for a spear. Again, this match was meant to be spear versus spear of Edge versus Roman. Roman counters with a Superman punch, goes for a spear of his own, which the crowd are very much behind as well. And Edge counters with a roll-up. Roman kicks out a two. Both men go for a follow-up spear and end up colliding head to shoulder. Both men down. If Daniel Bryan can get in the ring now, this is his best opportunity he's going to have thus far to capitalize on both men being down and possibly get a big advantage, if not the win. Bryan goes to the top rope, hits a diving headbutt on Edge first, and then Roman Reigns. Took a bit of time to go into the cover, and this might have been what allowed Roman Reigns to kick out. This early on into the match, you're definitely not going to keep either man down for the three, but no man is fully up to their feet just yet. Bryan is first to get up, but he did take less of the damage so far. Maybe summoning the yes kicks from the audience? Yep, here they are. Yes kicks and the sound echoing into the arena and the crowd just cheering it on. They've been waiting for ages to cool these kicks. Roman dodged the big kick from Bryan, which is not one that hits very often, but when it does, it can end the match. Edge then got up. Bryan hit him with a running knee to the face, one of Bryan's best finishers. Reigns, though, countered any attempt at a pinfall that Bryan might have been about to make with a thunderous Superman punch. Bryan manages to kick Roman Reigns mid-Superman punch and then hit the big kick onto Roman Reigns, sadly only getting a two count at this point, but you can feel that Daniel Bryan feeding off the energy and emotion flowing through the arena. He's grabbed both of Roman Reigns' arms and just repeatedly kicking him in the face. There is nothing fancy about this move, purely designed to keep your opponent down just long enough to get the victory. But Daniel Bryan, not looking for a pinfall, he wants to tap Roman Reigns, bends Roman's arm backwards and cranks on the neck. The yes lock is locked in, and in a one-on-one match, you have to argue that would be it. This is what Roman Reigns had tapped out to before, but there was no referee. So this is where Edge got involved with the steel chair in the past. But now it's triple threat. Edge did finally, I was worried he wasn't going to do it, did finally come in and break up the submission hold. Roman managed to hold on just long enough, and the match carries on. Bryan now able to lock in the yes lock on Edge, and because the yes lock targets the arm, it really is bringing into question how healed Edge's tricep is. I mean, he's been given full clearance, but does a thing like that ever truly heal? Will you still feel effects of it? Because that move really does target the chest, arms, head and neck. But we didn't need to worry about that, because Roman Reigns come in saving the match, because if Edge would have tapped out there to Daniel Bryan, even though Reigns is the champion and he wasn't involved in the decision, Reigns would have lost the title, and Reigns would not have coped with that in any way, shape or form. Roman managed to lift Daniel Bryan by one arm and hit a powerbomb while Bryan was going for some kind of submission move. Bryan really hasn't moved. Roman takes him to the outside and has just, after taking his time, letting Bryan think about what was going to happen, has powerbombed Daniel Bryan through the announce table at ringside. And just when we thought Reigns was in control, well, stood on the steel steps, Edge spears Roman off of them directly onto the floor. All three men are down, and first one up has a huge advantage. Literally anyone's game. Bryan completely out, right through the announce table. Edge, even though he hit the spear on Roman, he isn't particularly moving very fast either. Roman seems to be the one that has the most energy left, which is bad news for the two challengers. Edge finally being the first one to capitalize, he manages to roll Roman Reigns into the ring, but he doesn't appear to be done. He hasn't followed up by going into the ring with Roman. He has left Roman in the center, and Edge is now in the timekeeper's area. The camera's not quite on it, so we're not sure what he's going for. Oh, multiple steel chairs. Yep, that'll do it. Possibly Edge likes a concerto where he lays his opponent's head on one chair and smacks it with the other. Roman Reigns, however, knows this, and he doesn't want the steel chair involved. He manages to pull it completely away and throw it straight out of the ring, and these two just go straight into a brawl, which ends when Edge throws Roman Reigns' neck straight into the top rope and locks in the cross armbar, cross face, that's the word, pulling back on the neck and pulling pressure on the shoulder and arm. A move we don't see very often anymore, but Reigns just able to break the grip. And Edge, has he got a chair leg? Yeah, he has part of the chair leg that came off when Roman pulled it away from Edge, and just using it in the mouth of Reigns, pulling at the lips, using the metal chair leg, adding so much more pressure. Roman looks like he's going to tap, but Bryan dives in at the last second, stops Reigns' hand from hitting the floor. If Reigns doesn't tap like that, then the match will not end. And Bryan locking in the yes lock, using Reigns' other arm. Now, Reigns has no arms to tap with, and two people putting the submission on. If Reigns was to tap now, who would he tap to? And who would win? Edge and Bryan use a series of elbows to break up each other's submission, and Bryan gets the upper hand there. Edge taken, I was going to say more damage, but Bryan's gone through a table. Maybe it's just the adrenaline. bursting through Brian's veins right now. But he was more than able to gain control and just keep hitting the elbows over and over again, going back to the holding both arms and kicking Edge in the side of the head, taking his time with it, almost sadistically seeming to be enjoying what he's doing. This new side of Brian definitely has the potential to win the Universal Championship. Brian now crouched in the corner, waiting to get his running knee strike, getting the crowd to chant along with him with yes, trying to use it to build up more momentum and velocity going into the move. But Edge, the problem with having so many people chanting is you know what's coming. Edge managed to counter and spear Daniel Bryan. He spears Roman Reigns as well, about to get the three count. But Daniel Bryan, using the no disqualification ruling to his advantage, pulls the referee out of the ring. And Edge can't believe it. I can't believe it. Roman Reigns was not about to kick out of that one. And Edge, he looks like he's about to lose it. I've not seen a crazed look in the eyes of that man in quite some time. Edge has just snapped here. He has brought Daniel Bryan back into the ring along with a steel chair and just alternating shots. One for Bryan, one for Reigns, and he's almost got a faraway look in his eye. That Edge has... he's gone. The Edge we know, he's no longer there. This is the ultimate opportunist and the rated R superstar for a reason. Did he get soft? No. But this is a side we kind of possibly forgot about. Edge has now placed both his opponents' heads on a steel chair each, and as described earlier, you know the concerto is next on his list. A concerto straight to Brian, and Brian has had a history of neck injuries, and I can't see him coming back from this one. But speaking of coming back, Jey Uso, back from wherever he was taken, nails Edge with a few fists, went to get the steel chair to take Edge out, but Edge hits Uso with a spear, and now just wailing away with the steel chair. Reigns, however, back up, spear to Edge, smack bang in the middle of the ring, and the champion back in control where he belongs. Reigns, with a concerto to Edge, drags Edge on top of Daniel Bryan, pins both men, so there is no worrying about anyone saying, oh, I wasn't the one that was pinned. Roman Reigns makes sure he pins both of them at the exact same time. Roman Reigns has retained his Universal Championship. Now, I've been very critical of Roman Reigns as a champion. I have found his matches boring and repetitive in the past, especially when he rivaled with Kevin Owens. But again, maybe it was not having the crowd there. They couldn't do the type of matches necessarily they wanted. And I was a bit cautious about this match as well, it being the triple threat and everything they've added to it with Daniel Bryan. But honestly, it worked. One of Roman's best title defenses. He wasn't in control the entire time. It wasn't just basically a big promo like the I Quit Hell in a Cell. Yes, we had outside interference from Jey Uso, but that's why he's there. Reigns puts food on Uso's table and a well-earned championship victory. The main event finished. Roman Reigns retains. And with our main event of WrestleMania 37 back in business, night 2 in the books, Roman Reigns standing tall with his Universal Championship, the pyro going off, it is now time for my final thoughts on the last two nights. WrestleMania once again has lived up to the billing of the biggest event of the year. I can't think of a wrestling show that really could top it. Even though they would try, it has ended so many rivalries and storylines in a way that really did them justice, but also, especially the Bray Wyatt Fiend character thing with Alexa Bliss, it's added an extra dimension to that and filled a lot of intrigue
that's going on. The champions that won and retained all deserved it. Again, all matches were on an even playing field. The main thing I'm looking forward to now is going to be Raw tomorrow night, because the Raw after WrestleMania is always full of surprises. You have the fallout and the backlash of WrestleMania, but also of NXT TakeOver. And it has been four nights of back-to-back insane wrestling. And we can't forget that also on SmackDown, there was the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, as well as Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And all these things lead on to more potential for rivalries and storylines to build, new characters to be developed, and just unknown possibilities, with fans possibly being able to return a lot sooner than we think, or, you know, just get back to what we used to know and love about the world of professional wrestling. But my friends, after four episodes, and here in the UK, four very early mornings, it is currently 4:30 in the morning here, I am losing my voice. I haven't spoke / cheered this much in an absolute age. It's been really worth it. I hope you've enjoyed this journey with me too. I will be back for other podcasts on other shows, maybe doing some AEW, Impact Wrestling, that sort of thing. We'll have to see. I'm enjoying this, especially the live commentating thing. Hopefully you are too. Share this around. Stay magical, my friends, and I'll see you next time.